make application of it as you would. I'd like to read for a text this evening in St. Mark chapter 14. I'm going to begin with verse 32. Read through 36. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt.
Now we will see. That's our brother is prepared, so I'll give you our speaker of the hour, our brother Don McAdoo.
Thank you, Chris. That was beautiful in more ways than one. And we know that neither the Jewish authorities, the Sanhedrin, nor the Roman army could have taken him unless he had so decided. Let me just read a verse in St. John, chapter 10. Verse 18. These are Jesus' words. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He denied his own will and desire, his feelings, his inner feelings, his fear. He yielded to the will of the Father. And so on the following day, those who were gathered along the street would see him with blood flowing down his back from his brow, carrying that heavy cross up the hill toward Golgotha. I want to consider the significance of that scene. I looked around for some of the writings of other people. One writer stated this: to carry the cross was burdensome, was disgraceful, was trying to the feelings, was an addition to the punishment that would be given. So to carry the cross is a figurative expression, denoting that we must endure whatever is burdensome or is trying or is considered disgraceful, that we might follow Christ. But there's another thing I think we should consider. to a first century Jewish person, Roman citizen, the cross had one meaning and only one: death. Death by one of the most severe means that men had designed. So does carrying your cross really mean that you must be willing to die? It's an important question. We're going to turn to a scripture in Mark. I believe it gives answer to that question. It's the scripture that I read that prompted this study. Mark chapter 8. We're going to read verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He called all the people, not just his disciples. He called all those who had any desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That call is universal. It applies to each one of us. He said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. It's quoted by Luke. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. We can clearly see that it's a decision that each one of us have to make daily. Each one of us have to make it every day of our lives. The next verse begins with the word for, verse 35. And beginning with that verse, that word for ties it implicitly together with verse 34 before it. They're connected. It's dependent upon verse 34. For whosoever will have his life, will save his life, shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. It appears as I read that it is saying that we must have a willingness to give up our life, to die in some respect. It is symbolic of death. But what type of a death is Jesus asking of us? That to me is the important question. Remember his statement? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the death that we're called upon to make. A death of self-interest and self-concern, self-happiness. That's the cross he would have us to carry. You know, many a morning his disciples woke up, picked themselves up off the hard, cold ground, Perchance they lit a fire, had prayer with the Master, and listened to His words as He taught them. As He taught them about what might be required that day. Every day they had a decision to make. Am I going to walk the next 9 miles up to the city of Hebron without a place to rest along the way and nothing to eat? Not knowing what's going to happen when I get there? Or should I go home to my family? My wife? Well, I don't think that's the choice that we have to make. That's too easy. But the choice we have to make is to deny our self-interest, to lay aside our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and live for the Master in whatever way He would have us to do. Self-denial is a difficult thing. Some aspects might be almost impossible for us. It can be painful. It can be frustrating. Denying self requires us to give up anything and everything that might hinder our work living for Christ and what He would have for us to be doing. And so every day we have innumerable thoughts come into our mind, desires come into our heart that we need to make a matter of prayer, that we know the Lord's will. And yet, men and women are so focused on what they want, what they would like, what they wish to have, what they desire for their lives, that oftentimes we go through life making decisions without first making it a matter of prayer. That we know what the Lord would have us to do. So we know if we need to deny ourselves or if He would be pleased with that which we would like to do. It's a difficult aspect of our lives. I'm sure many of us know people who, members of the church, who have, for one reason or another, deliberately isolated themselves from worshiping God, from the fellowship that Sister Leora Martin wrote in this beautiful hymn. Thank God for these loving ties that bind us together. And yet people make decisions to isolate themselves from that fellowship and from worship of God. And what He would have them do. And you know, many times they remain members of church all their lives. But all too often their children grow up not knowing anything at all about the gospel and wander in the paths of the world. Self-denial is a part of, I believe, a part of that narrow gate that the Lord would have us pass through. Is something that restricts our life, makes the gate more difficult and narrow to pass through. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14, we're all familiar with it, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It is something that we must be found always, walking in that narrow path. And so many times our desires would take us off of it, and we would be wandering, stepping out of the bounds of that narrow path for self-interest, for what would make us feel good, for what we would desire to do. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 10. And read verses 34 to 38. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father, mother, more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He began that little narration by saying, you know, many of us think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. That's what the angel sang. But no, he said, I haven't come to bring peace. I've come to set people at variance with their co-workers, with their neighbors, with their family members, for the cause of Jesus Christ, if it be necessary. That's not always necessary, thank goodness. But sometimes it is. I'd like to just consider with you for a few moments. Situation of a young woman in Yucatan. Her name is Glenda Coyoke. She's a cousin of our brother Placido's, who will be here in a few days. When I first knew Glenda, she was just a little child. Had an older sister, a younger brother. They grew up in Yobain. They were active. That family was active members in the church. And then their father needed work to support his family. Couldn't do it, just growing corn on his own land. So he went to Meriden. He got a job working for the city. And he worked for the city until he was able to retire. But they didn't leave the church. They had a church group there. Four families met together regularly. Every Wednesday night, every Saturday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Glenda grew up knowing, living, and loving the gospel. And then years passed, and I remember she became a pretty young woman. And I went one visit, and there she was sitting at church. She had a nice-looking young man sitting beside her. And after a couple of years, they married. He had a good job. They had a nice home. Soon had a son. And then one day, when that son was just about 2 years old, the husband came home. And he said, Glenda, you're going to have to make a decision. Either you're going to have to quit going to that church and go with me, or I'm going to find another woman. Now, I know Glenda. That was not a hard decision for her to make in some respects. She couldn't leave that church. But her life became very difficult. A young woman with a 2-year-old son. She had to find a job. She had to be gone from home all day. Leave her little boy with her grandmother, with his grandmother. She worked hard. She came home late. She was tired. She had a little family to take care of. But her job got better and better, you know, and their life is quite comfortable today. The boy's about 7 years old now. The family's still all united in the bonds of the gospel. But a tough decision for people to make. That's just one of, that's the kind of thing Jesus was talking about. That we have tough decisions to make sometimes in our lives. In, as I said, in some respects, Glenda's decision was fairly simple for her, even though it caused her great distress and grief and trouble and pain. But there are many other decisions that come along, you know, that aren't that easy to make. Sometimes denying ourselves requires that we give up things that we want, things that we're seeking, a better, bigger home, a newer car, a better job, better living conditions, a happier life. And I'm not saying for 1 minute that wanting a better job, wanting a nicer home, wanting happiness for your family is sinful. It isn't. However, if what we want leads us to turn away in some respect from our worship of the Lord, our service of the Lord, fulfilling His will in our lives, then it becomes a sin. It becomes something that lessens us, that lowers us in this walk of life that we would have for ourselves in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we must pray about all these decisions that come along, whatever it might be, the job we take, the courses we're going to study in school, what we want to do. What will it do for us in the future? Where will it take us? We need to be aware of those things. We need to ask the Lord. We need His guidance. We need His direction in every aspect of our life and all the things that we're looking for. I'm going to turn to the book of Alma. Alma's talking to his son, Helaman. In chapter 17... Boy, chapter 16 is long. Chapter 17, it's found on page 441. I'm going to begin reading with verse 68. He's talking to his son. His words could apply to any one of us, especially you younger people, people in school, people beginning life, beginning their work, looking for companionship. Listen to what he says, verse 68. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and He will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that He may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. How that beautiful words he said to his son, Helaman. And I'd also, while the Book of Mormon's here, I'd like to look in Mosiah chapter 11. Mosiah chapter 11 on page 278. I'm going to read three verses here, beginning with verse 62. This is a kind of a conclusion of a story of Alma and those who followed Alma, that they were subject to the Lamanite people in whose land they were living. And they were sorely afflicted. But Alma had given them courage and advice, and they counseled the Lord, and they depended upon the Lord. And this is the result, beginning with verse 62. "And this will I do, that you may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, that you may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid up upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them, that they could bear up their burdens with ease. And they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord." I guess what I like about that, in line of what I've been thinking here, is that sometimes the decisions that we have to make to turn away from things that we desire or want or feel are important to us are rather painful. But that story right there shows us, without a doubt, and that's what Alma's saying. I'm telling you this so without a doubt you can bear witness of it to other people, that if you will call upon the Lord and trust in Him, He will strengthen you, He will support you, He will make your afflictions, your burdens light. And it may not be the thing we want to do, but if it's the will of the Lord, He will make us find joy in doing it. This difficulty of this difficult teaching of Jesus, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. It's probably forgotten by many of us in the daily plans of life that we're making. We probably make our plans, multitude of them. And never think to pray about each one of them. The plans that we make to have a happier life. Speaking of that, a happier life. I think I'd like to read a scripture here about that. Words in Luke, they're also in Matthew and they're in Mark, but I'm going to read it in Luke. Chapter 8. This is when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower. And He talked about seed that was scattered on the side of the road. And He talked about seed that fell in the thorny places. And He talked about seed that fell on the good land. Now He's describing to His disciples what those things really meant. And I want to talk about this. Verse 14 is all I'm interested in reading. "And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." So many people, so many of us have our lives, our thoughts and our minds are kind of focused on the cares of this life, of our work. Many people on riches. I don't believe there are any people here whose lives are focused on their riches, but on the pleasures of this life. Yeah, a lot of us fall into that category. People whose lives are focused on having a happier life, and they think that happiness comes from the worldly pleasures that are around us. But how do we have a happier life? I think it's Jesus Christ that can give us the answer. And I'd like to turn to some of His words, both in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. First of all, in St. John. St. John, chapter 13. I'm going to read several verses, but just begin with one. St. John, chapter 13. Let's read verse 15. It says, these are words of Christ. It says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, I have given you an example. Jesus is our example. And I want to pause, and I want you to keep this place here, but let's look up some words in 3 Nephi of what Jesus taught the people along this line in chapter 12 of 3 Nephi. I'm going to read the last three verses of chapter 12. It's on 674, page 674, verse 33. "Now this is the commandment, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that you may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And you know the things that you should do in my church. For the works which you have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which you have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day." Now I'm going to go back to St. John. Chapter 13, while we were reading, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you shall do them. That is the gateway to true and lasting happiness." The only gateway to true and lasting happiness. Following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doing as he did. And that included denying himself. Yielding to the will of the Father. He prayed about it. He received the strength to do it, the power to lay down his own life for us. You know, I'm sure this concept of self-denial is forgotten by many preachers in the world today that are interested primarily in gaining new converts. It's a difficult thing. And yet, you know, when we look at the words of Jesus Christ, we go to the words of Jesus. We find out he didn't pull any punches at all. He told people just what it's going to be like. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Just for an example. Chapter 9. Beginning over with verse 57, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." Those are things every one of us would think we needed to do. essential things we feel we need to do. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I remember the first time I met Brother Roger Kahn. He had a large living room. It was probably about as wide as one half of this chapel. Maybe from the first row back to the back row. Absolutely filled with people for every service. They had a little band going, a drum, a bass with one string tied to a drum, and a fiddle and a guitar. They sang songs. They enjoyed themselves. They had good fellowship. He had a list. Jim could look at, he doesn't have them all on one list. If he looked at a list of all the members of Motul, he'd find at least a page and a half, 2 pages of members. But at the end of the 70s, Roger suffered an affliction. He had an appendix and it burst. His body was filled with infection. They took him to the hospital. They operated on him. They couldn't sew him back up right away. His body was too full of infection. All the people in the church were praying for him. Brother Leon and I administered to him. But Roger had an experience. One night as he lay in his bed, surely suffering, and he saw a bright light, and he heard a voice, and it was the voice of God. And he received instructions about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he ought to be doing. And Roger Kahn became one of the greatest missionaries we ever had down there. He was a pastor of 4 or 5 different congregations. Never a day at home. But all those band members and singers and guitar players just kind of drifted away when he began preaching the everlasting gospel. It's hard just to hear the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He expects of us in our life. It's not easy. And it requires sacrifice sometimes. And people that aren't willing to make it, they fall by the wayside. But there's nothing we can do about that. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The necessity of repentance, of changing our lives, of drawing close to the Master, of picking up our cross daily and carrying it every day of our life. And for those who do that, what will be their mission? Those of you that have taken up your cross are willing to deny yourself and follow after Jesus Christ and His example. Peter says this. I'm reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what Jesus would have for us. And Matthew, words you've heard countless times, innumerable times, hear them once again. Chapter 28, closing words according to Matthew, of Jesus as he spoke to his followers. I'm going to begin with verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end. And we may be close to the end, closer than we know. But this is our commission. Pick up that cross of Jesus Christ. Deny self and seek after his holy will. God bless me and you in our efforts to do so.